We're in the middle of our series here. We've been doing this for the last 5 or 6 weeks on the power of our words. One of the awesome things here at Destiny Church is that we're learning the value of what God has placed in our mouth, the value of our words. It's this lost treasure. All of a sudden, as we see in Scripture, it's talking about the power of our words become so great in our life. And, you know, this is not a new principle. Matter of fact, you can pay hundreds of dollars. They go to these seminars, and they're going to tell you the power of positive thinking and speaking. Well, let me tell you, there's authors who are making millions on this, and there's seminars going around telling you how to be a more confident person, how to speak over yourself. And I would tell you, that's all great and dandy, but that's nothing new. This is something Scripture's been teaching us for thousands of years, has said all along that there is weight and there is value in the power of our words. And so these guys are copying the Scripture and getting paid. And so I just saved you hundreds of dollars right there. Okay. You're learning a lot in this series because there is power in our words. Scripture says in Proverbs 18 that there's power of life and the power of death in our tongue, in our words. And so there's no neutral ground. Either we're speaking life or we're speaking death. And so you can't say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that part. So I think I'll just wait this series and not join in because I'm not really sure about this. Well, it's too late. If you can speak today, you're already participating. You just got to decide which side of the aisle you're going to participate on. Are you going to be a person who speaks life or a person who speaks death, according to Scripture? And so we've been learning about this, how the power of our words, when our words are out of whack, when our words are out of alignment, Scripture says that the rest of our life is out of alignment as well. And so that's why it's important that we learn to get our mouth back in control of the Holy Spirit so that our words be lined up with what God wants us to say. He says when we do that, it says the rest of our life will line up as well. And so it's important when we're finding how important it really is, the importance of having our mouth controlled by the Holy Spirit. I gave you 10 top 10 ways. Remember that message on how we sin with our mouth. And then last week, we became more practical as we talked about how to control our mouth, how to control our tongue. And how many members of the three P's I gave you last week? Anybody remember the first P? What's the first P? Pause, second P, ponder, and pray. Pause, ponder, and pray. If we'll do those three things according to Scripture, our words become different. We weigh the words, the value of the words coming out of us. We pause, we ponder, we think about it, and then we pray, Holy Spirit, help my words to come out what you want me to say. And many of you, I got numerous texts and messages this week from people who said, Pastor, thank you for that practical tool. I really implemented it. It's really changing some things in my life this week. I've noticed, and my kids even got this message because all week long, they keep telling Dad, Dad, pause. Pause, Dad. And so I have to be careful what I preach because my kids make me practice it all the time. And so they're like, pause, Dad, pause, chill out. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about something that I think is very important. And for some of you here, it's going to be a little different for you. But today I believe the Holy Spirit is going to allow this to be interpreted in the way where you can understand and grab it for the first time in your life and have a full understanding. We're going to talk about the spiritual language that Scripture talks about, your spiritual language. And I will just tell you this, the Word of God is very clear that He has a spiritual language that's available for every believer. Let me give you Acts 2:1 as our text today. Acts 2:1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Now, let me stop, because some of you, as soon as I said the word Pentecost, were like, oh, got scared right away. I could see some of you ladies in the house already. You're even afraid to say the word Pentecost, because when you hear the word Pentecost, some of you think, like, automatically, you just say the word Pentecost that your makeup's going to be sucked off your face and your hair is automatically going to go shoved up into a bun and you just don't know what's going to happen. Let me say, just chill out. It's okay. you don't have to be afraid of the word Pentecost. And sometimes we've been there. You're like, some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, man, I just heard the word Pentecost. I just know it's kind of freaky. It's kind of out there. It's kind of, you know, let me give you the definition. How many would like to have the really in-depth biblical definition of what Pentecost means, so you don't have to be afraid of it. Let me give it to you. It's really easy. You'll never forget it when I tell it to you today. Penti is simply the word where we get the word five. A penti has five-sided thing. So the word five. Costo is where comes from the word costi, which simply means times 10 to the 10th power, times 10. And so five being penti, costi means to the 10th power. Are you ready for this really spiritually in-depth thing? Pentecost means 50. Seem like, that's it? Yes, that's it. That's what Pentecost actually means. It means the number 50, according to Scripture. It means 50. He instructed them in the Old Testament, begin to count for the Passover. Remember, he said 50 days after this Sunday, you count to do the Passover. And so what's happening here is this. Jesus has been resurrected, and now they're counting for the Passover. And he says, go together. He says, now when the 50th day, so we read, it says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, what we're saying is, when the 50 days had fully finished, when the 50 days had fully come. Some of you are like, wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah, I know. So now you have a definition. You don't have to be scared when you hear the word Pentecost, okay? There's a few people you might want to be scared of, but you don't have to be scared when you hear the word Pentecost. It's because all it simply means is the number 50. It means 50. So today, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, they were all with one accord. Everybody say one accord. This is important because we'll come back to this at the very last scripture we read today. So I want you to get that in your mind, put it in the bank for the end of this message. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. One sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so I want to give you three things you need to know about speaking in the Holy Spirit. Three things you need to know about speaking in the Holy Spirit today, according to what Scripture teaches us. First of all, number one, I want you to get this. It's a language. It's a language. Let's keep reading our text here, verses 5 and 6 in Acts chapter 2. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation. Now what was happening here is, remember, Jerusalem now is the trading hub of the world at this time. So all the nations came to Jerusalem to trade and to do market. And so therefore it makes sense that all the different nations were there. People were there speaking different languages because this would have been the main central trading place. And so they're all there from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together. They were in bewilderment because each one had heard what? Their own language being spoken. So what I want you to get here, first of all, that our spiritual language is a pure language. It's a language. And so in that, I want to give you three myths underneath this point, three sub-points that go underneath this first point of it's a language. The first myth is this. You start speaking it fluently the first time you start using it. Now let me tell you this. There is a spiritual language that God has for every believer who wants to unlock and receive this gift of speaking your spiritual language. But when you start speaking it at first or praying it at first, it's not going to sound like, you know, I can get it all together. And this is the question I have for you. How many had children who were born who come out speaking fluent English or fluent language? Any of our kids do that? No. So we're not going to start speaking another spiritual language fluently from the first time we start operating in that gift. It's not going to happen right away. Matter of fact, it's very much different than that. We see where, you know, we don't speak fluently the first day. Has anyone here ever spoke a second language? Anyone here speak a second language? Raise your hand if you can speak a second language, okay? A few of you. You know what they say? They say that, you know, if you can speak two languages, you are bilingual. If you only speak one language, you're American. And so, because America is about the only country that only knows one language. You know, everywhere else you go in the world, they know at least two languages, some three. So it's kind of a joke around the nations that they give us a hard time that we only know one language. But you know what? Babies don't start speaking fluently, do they? Babies don't come out speaking fluently. No, we think it's cute when they don't. We don't come out and the baby starts saying, you know, for bottle, they don't say, ba-ba. Ba, 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 ba. We're not like, no, no, you don't get your bottle until you say bottle. No, we're like, oh, he wants his bottle. He said, Baba. You know, we don't do that, do we? We don't like, oh, you, no, you're not getting your bottle until you can say it clearly in a sentence. Use three different times, you know. No, we don't do that, do we? No, we're like, it's cute. Oh, he said, Baba for bottle. You know, we don't come out expecting our children to speak fluent English when they're learning to speak. When you're learning another language, no one's going to expect your teacher, when you take a class, is not going to expect you the first week to come out speaking that Spanish fluently the first time you take Spanish or French in high school. No, they know it's going to take semesters for you to be able to speak that fluently. Hopefully, some of you can just get it out a little bit to pass your grade. And say, no, that's not an easy thing. But you know what? Even if we speak just a little bit to the parents, are the parents proud of their children when they first start speaking? Yes, we are, aren't we? We're very much proud of our children when they first start speaking. The same way the Heavenly Father is proud of us when we make an attempt to speak in the spiritual language that He has for every believer. I'm going to explain more of that in just a minute. But no one gets upset. You know, I had a cousin who could not pronounce his F's, and he always said S instead of his F's. He put the S there. And I had never been around them very long, so they started talking, and then, you know, my grandparents were raised in 40 acres in the backside of the country. You know, they had a big deck that went out the side of their house and overlooked the side of the mountain, and it was bluegrass music every night. They were playing live bands. I mean, it was about as country as you can get when they're out there. And, you know, and so my grandfather played the fiddle, you know, in a bluegrass band. He had the whole thing, and they'd be out there playing. I remember my cousin coming up to him. I hadn't been around him. I saw him at Thanksgiving, and we're at Thanksgiving, and they're playing. And he comes up and says, "Papa," he says, "I want to learn to play the fiddle." And I'd never heard, you know, him speak like this before, and so it really made me kind of humorous laugh, obviously, because I'm a young child. I don't know any better. I can't laugh at children who can't speak clearly, you know, so I was not taught, because, you know, I wasn't around him. And so I started laughing. And then, you know, all of a sudden he got really mad because I laughed at him for calling the fiddle a siddle. And he got really mad. He got really mad at me, and he screamed at me. He looked me right in the eye, and he said, "It's not funny." Everybody's like, "Gene," and they're trying to bite their lip, you know, and like, "What? I didn't know." The thing about it is, am I punishing him for not pronouncing his words right? No, they understood. It takes time to understand the language and to get this thing down. A lot of kids go through therapy. A lot of my children have had to have speech therapy and had to go through things. It's a very natural thing that we don't pick up on the language fluently, is what I'm trying to tell you. And what I'm saying is, parents are understanding, aren't they? And they appreciate when children are trying to talk. The same way our Heavenly Father understands when we're trying to operate in a heavenly language, in a prayer language that He has for us. He doesn't expect us to be fluent in the first time we use it. Number two, B, you can't control it. You can't control it. That's a myth out there. "Oh, I'm afraid, Pastor. I'm afraid if I get it, I just can't control it." Some of you think that, you know, if I start speaking in a prayer language, that all of a sudden, you know, I'm just going to be walking through Walmart, and I'm going to just go into this trance, and I'm going to walk over to the microphone and grab it and be like, "Aisle 6, and start speaking in tongues. It's not going to happen that way, okay? You can't control it. It's not going to be something that you can't not control. Can you control the gift of teaching? Yes. Can you control the gift of prophecy? Yes. Can you control the gift of wisdom? Yes. I'm so saying, so the gifts of the Spirit are controllable. We can operate in them. They're not going to overtake you, and you have no control of how you use them. They are subject to us submitting our flesh to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And the third myth about this language thing is that you must, listen, it's just going to jump out of you one day. Some of you think, "It's just going to jump out of me one day." Well, Pastor, I've been praying. I pray for this language, spiritual language, and if it's God's will, it'll just happen. That makes just about as much sense as me coming and saying, "You know what, guys, I've been praying that God would give me the gift of giving. I pray that God would give me the gift of giving. And I was in the middle of worship, Pastor Gene, and I was right here, and I was worshiping, and all of a sudden, during the middle of worship, out of my pocket, the tithe envelope came out, and it went through the air, and it landed right in the offering basket. And now I've got the gift of giving." That's not going to happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. No. How am I going to operate in the gift of giving? I'm going to have to take out my checkbook, write the check, put it in, and come down and place it in there. I'm going to take the cash out, put it in the envelope. I'm going to participate and do it. I'm going to have to be a participant in that. That's just how I operate. It's not just going to jump out of me one day. Okay? I've got to participate in the heavenly language, the spiritual language that God has for every believer. So we're taking some myths here and helping you understand it. It's a language, number one. Number two, it's a language of the Spirit, according to what Scripture teaches us. It's a language of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to who? God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter what? Mysteries by the Spirit." So when you pray in the Spirit, it says that your spirit man is praying mysteries to the Father. Have you ever had a prayer when you didn't know how to pray? Have you ever tried to pray and said, man, I don't know how to pray. I know I need to pray about something. So I'm going through my life, but I just don't understand how to pray. You ever been there? It's a burden so deep. I got a burden for somebody, but I don't know how to pray for them. Well, this is what it's talking about. It's saying that sometimes you'll have a burden for somebody, begin to pray for them. And when you begin to pray in a spiritual language that God will give you, that you can pray, it says your spirit prays for you on behalf of what you're praying for. And you don't even know what's happening. You don't even know what they're praying, but the spirit man knows exactly what needs to be said to the Father and is praying for you. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says it. For if, everybody say if. See, it's a choice. Okay, she's knowing it. It's a choice. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. So what's the result then? Conclusion. I will pray with the spirit. And I'll also pray with what? Understanding. I will sing in the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. What he's talking about is that Paul says that sometimes I pray with words I understand, and other times I pray in the spirit because my spirit man knows what needs to be said. And when I does that, my mind doesn't comprehend what's being said. All I know is my spirit is praying on behalf of my man. We should never be afraid of any gift that God has for us. And let me just tell you, so many people here, and some of you in this room right now, you've been around, and some of you have said, you know what, I've been taught that just, you need to stay away from that stuff. Well, I need to taught, it's just not right for the church today. Or some of you just never been taught at all. And let me tell you this, we never have to fear any gift that Scripture talks about is for every believer. Why would we fear anything that God says is a gift for us? I don't understand it. Well, that's fine. We can admit that we don't understand, and we can admit that maybe we need some understanding, but let's don't fear it. Let's don't fear anything that God has for us. Christmas is just around the corner. I mean, we're just a few weeks away from Black Friday. Are you ready? Some of you are going to be up all night shopping. You can't wait. Or some of you girls, it's a national holiday. You care more about Black Friday than you do Thanksgiving. Something's wrong with that. That's another message in itself. But let me just tell you this. That as you go out and prepare and get gifts for your children and family, how many gifts this year will be under our tree that after Christmas is over will go unwrapped, unopened? How many gifts? How many? Zero. Your kids are going to have each gift numbered before they ever open them. They're going to know exactly how many gifts are under that tree. How many gifts are theirs? How many gifts are their brothers and sisters? Who got the most gifts? Whose weighs the most? Which one makes the noise when they rattle it? I mean, they're going to have it all figured out, and you won't have to leave any doubt that none of the gifts are going to be left under the tree unopened. It makes no sense, would it, for us to buy our kids a gift and leave it under the tree? All right, you guys open all the other gifts, but leave this one unopened. It's just there to look at. Can't take the tree down yet because we're going to leave this gift under the tree all year long. No, we're going to unwrap all the gifts. The same thing in our life. Why would we ever not unwrap every spiritual gift that the Bible says is for every believer? Are you getting what I'm talking about? We don't have to be, why would we be afraid of any gift that the Holy Spirit says is for every believer? He said, God only knows how to give what? Good gifts. He says, God only knows how to give good gifts. And it's a good gift he wants to give you. You don't have to be afraid of it. Paul was very clear. Paul says, this is our hero, okay? Paul, he wrote more scripture. He wrote more books of the Bible than anybody else, led by the Holy Spirit. And he says, hey, I'm the most spiritual man of all of you guys. If you want to get with it, really. He says, and I pray more in tongues than any of you. He goes, I'm not telling you not to do it because I pray in tongues more than anybody. He says, I wish you all prayed in tongues. That's what he said. I wish everyone prayed in tongues. Every believer prayed in tongues. And then he says, don't forbid anybody to pray in tongues. That's what he says. This is our Bible. It says, do not forbid anyone to speak in tongues, to pray in tongues. But yet we have whole denominations that forbid it. And I'm thinking, are we all looking at the same Bible here, okay? Now, I'm not here to speak bad balance to any denominations. You know how I feel. We're going to support all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. But what I'm saying is this. Let's don't be afraid of any gift.
Let's say, God, I want to unwrap every gift that you have for me. It's very important. I remember one time when I was a kid, I was in a service where they were talking about receiving this gift of speaking in your prayer language. And so they gave an altar call for those who wanted to do that. And I didn't come up to the front, but this person who had really delegated himself as the spiritual authority in the church, I guess, comes up and drags me to the front. It's like, you got to get up here and get this. And I didn't want to, but they got me anyway. And they surrounded me with people who were trying to pray for me. You know, and I understood now. I understand what's going on. But you know what? It was very traumatic for me because, you know, I had like 10 people, 12 people praying for me. And they're all screaming at me to do this, to that. And I was like, I have got to get out of here. I was being claustrophobic. And I was like, they're not going to let me go. They're not going to let me go. So I began to speak I'm just going to speak every motorcycle name I can think of. And so Hyundai and Kawasaki, and I said a couple of those, and I said, let me out of here. And I got out of here. I was like, I ain't never coming back again. These people are crazy, man. And so, but as I grew up and I began to accept the call of God in my life, began to study the Word of God, I cannot get around from the fact that Scripture is very clear. Very clear, more than one occasion, that you and I are called to pray and speak in the Spirit. And so, God, if this is a gift you have, I do not want to be afraid of it. That's what I told the Holy Spirit. I said, God, if this is a gift you have, I do not want to be afraid of it. I want to learn to open up my life and receive every good gift that comes from the Father. And so I remember I began to pray for it and seek after it. And I remember it was sometime later that I was in my dorm room at college, and I was praying. And I just began to feel just something in my spirit. I can't explain it. I just felt something in my spirit, just something rising up within me as I was praying. And I just felt like I was supposed to pray. I could just feel it coming on the tip of my tongue. So I began to pray, and just a few syllables came out that were different. But I knew in my heart that was the Holy Spirit speaking. That was not me. That was something coming out of me. And I began to pray a little bit more, and it came out a little bit more. But it wasn't real pretty. It wasn't anything that made sense to me, or it could even sound like anything spiritually mature at all. And I just kind of thought, all right, God, I received this. And it happened a few more times, but it was one time I was in the service. I went home, and I was in the service, just like this one here. And I was sitting right about where Travis is sitting right now, and my sister was on stage, and she was singing on the praise team. And she's singing on the praise team. All of a sudden, I see her eyes do this, and she kind of buckles. And all of a sudden, she falls out and faints right on the middle of stage. Now, some people thought revival was breaking out. But I knew my sister and knew that wasn't the case. Some of you will get that tomorrow. Okay. So I jumped out of my seat and ran to the front because I knew there was something medically wrong with her for her to be passing on stage. She wasn't yielding to the Holy Spirit at this point in her life. So anyway, you know, brothers and sisters, we know way too much on each other. And so, you know, I was like, this isn't wrong, medically wrong. And I remember jumping up, fearful in my heart, and I ran up to her on stage, and I ran up, and so I don't know why she passed out on stage. All I know, she's passed out on stage, so my heart immediately gets fearful, and I begin to pray over her. I don't know how to pray. All of a sudden, whoa, out of me comes this heavenly spiritual language, and I start praying it very powerful, very fervently, very fluently. I'm like, what is this? This is the Holy Spirit coming out of me, speaking in me. This is awesome, you know? And it was like, I could tell I was praying something. I didn't even know what I was praying for, but the Spirit knew exactly what I was praying. I was like, all right, God's like, I got you. It takes me doing something out of you. I tricked you to get this, you know? I don't know if he made her pass out for me to know how this happened, but whatever I know. God used that experience in my life for me to experience a breakthrough of praying in the Spirit I'd never had before. I was like, all right, God, I'm not going to be fearful of this. And I begin to use it in my own life. And I begin to study it out in Scripture and see where this spiritual language that we have is for every believer. Pastor, I've tried speaking it before. I've tried it before, but I don't feel anything. Well, let me ask you this. Do you always feel something when you pray in English? Do you always feel something? No. Sometimes you got to pray in what? Faith. That's right. Sometimes we say prayers in English in faith. Do I always feel like paying my tithe and offering? No. Sometimes I give them in faith. Even when sometimes it's tight, I know, God, you want me to be obedient in doing this, and so I'm doing it in faith. Sometimes when it comes to speaking our spiritual prayer language, It's a personal thing that God has given every believer, and sometimes you got to speak it in faith. If look what Ephesians says. Let's get right down to it. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation. Now listen, this whole passage in 16 and 17 and 18 talks about the armor of God, the whole armor of God. So you got to hear this. You cannot miss this. It says, take on the whole helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the what? Pray in the Spirit. Of course, we know this was writing that praying in the Spirit is talking about praying in our spiritual prayer language on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. How many times do we hear all about, you better put on the whole armor of God? But we don't ever hear anybody talk about this. This is a part of our spiritual armor. So this is the question right here. The question is, Jay, if I asked you today, would you lead this army of believers in the battle, to a physical battle, to do war? I said, here, open up the closet. You can have all this artillery. You can take all these guns, and you can take all these grenades and these tanks. How many weapons would you leave behind if you were going to war, the battle? How many? None. Are you getting what I'm saying today? If you don't know, we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. So why would we leave spiritual weapons that God has given us for our everyday life and say, nah, I don't want to use those? You better believe I'm going to take every weapon available to me, and I'm going to use it. If I'm going to play you in a ball game, I'm going to take every player, every weapon, I mean every good player that I can get, and I'm going to use it when I play you. I'm not going to leave the best player sitting on the bench. I'm going to use every player I got. So why do we spiritually leave our spiritual gifts unwrapped? Well, I don't know about that, so I'll just leave that one in the closet, Pastor. Well, here today I'm saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of every good gift God has for us. It's a part of our weapon. Could it be this? Could it be possible that we're not winning some battles in our life because we're not building up our spirit man first? Could it be the reason why we battle with our flesh is because we're not building our spirit man up? He says, those who pray in the Spirit, they edify their spirit. They build their spirit up. And number three, it's a pure language. You got to get this. Number three, it's a pure language. I'm going to show you something today that many of you maybe never seen this before, and I think it's a really cool thing in Scripture we see about the restoration of a pure language that God has given us. In Genesis 11, we're going to read verse 1 and verses 6 and 7. What's happening here? It says, now the whole earth had one, everybody say one. The whole earth had one language and one speech. And what happens here is this, that all the languages of this time were just this one. There was only one pure language. There was no nations. There was no divided languages. There was only one language. And remember, they came together in one spirit, one accord. And God was looking down and said, hey, Jesus, Holy Spirit, look at this. These guys are speaking one language in one accord. He says, nothing they desire to do will be withheld from them. And they were trying to build a tower to heaven. Remember, they built the city, and they said, we're building this Tower of Babel that's going to go all the way, reach the heavens. And God's like, you know what? We got to divide this language thing up, or they're going to accomplish things in the wrong motive, but they're going to accomplish anything they want to do. Nothing they try to do will be withheld from them. And so let's continue to read in verse 6. It says, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they shall have what? One language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. This is important to realize here, that we see where God said we got to divide their speech up. But could it not be this? He said this, that with one language, look what he says. When they speak one language, what they begin to do, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Could it be this, that when we begin to speak in a spiritual language that God gives back to us, that nothing we pray in the Spirit, when my spirit man prays, could it be that nothing we pray in the Spirit could be withheld from us? So, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. Are you sure? Let's read the next verse here. It's going to tie it all together. Zephaniah, look what Zephaniah says here as he's prophesying in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. He's prophesying of the restoration of the church. For then I will what? Restore. Okay, he can't restore if it hasn't already been there. Are we getting this? Okay, he's restoring something back that's been taken away. He says, then I will restore to the peoples a what? Pure language. How do we know it's linked to the day of Pentecost and linked to the power of Babel? Look what it says. That they may be called upon the name of the Lord to serve him with what? One accord. And on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were in what? One place in one accord. So could it be this, that the Holy Spirit is wanting you and I to be given a spiritual language that when you and I begin to come into agreement, what's happening? My spirit man is coming to agreement with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is praying for me, and anything he prays on my behalf will not be withheld from me when I'm in agreement with what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Isn't that amazing? And this is the gift that God has got for every believer. Every believer has this gift that God wants us to use, and we don't have to be afraid of it. There's only one pure language, and that's a spiritual language. Every other language that's known to mankind is not pure. It's got perverse words in it. It's got curse words in it. Every language out there has at least some impurity in it. There's only one pure language, and that's the language of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I went to Brazil for the first time, and of course they speak Portuguese there. And I was there, Travis, and I'm like trying to do charades with them, you know, because I don't really understand the language. I'm like, we're going to pick you up. I'm like, all right, you're going to pick me up here tomorrow, you know. And I'm speaking with a Spanish dialect. I don't even speak Spanish, but like a Spinglish, you know, hoping to understand me. Like, you're going to pick me up tomorrow, man? I don't know, this is what I was doing, so like they can understand me better. And so they're like, we'll pick you up tomorrow, Pastor Gene. I'm like, okay, we'll eat lunch tomorrow. I said, okay, we're going to do this. I say, okay. And so I'm like, everybody understands what okay means, right? Okay. Well, let me tell you, okay here doesn't mean okay in Portuguese. I will not tell you what it means, but just use your imagination. You can probably go there. They're like, Pastor Jim, we got to taste it. You've been kept saying okay all night. Your eyes are really big. What you're really saying is this. You're saying this word here. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. So now, like, don't say okay, Pastor Jim. Don't say okay. And so, you know, I just say that every language has got impurities. There's only one language that has impurities. And that's the language of Scripture calls the power of the praying in the Spirit. That's the only pure language there is. And it's for every believer who wants it. It's for every believer who wants to accept it and to operate in it. It's for every believer. I remember one time I was praying with a local pastor here in town. We were having a meeting, and he pastors the largest church, if not the largest, one of the largest churches in our area. If I named the pastor in the church, every one of you in this room would know exactly who I'm talking about. And I'm not going to do that, so don't ask me later on, who was a pastor? I'm not going to tell you, but just listen to the story, okay? I was praying with this pastor, and we were actually meeting together, and he asked me to pray. And so I was being conscious, like, you know what? I pray in the Spirit, but Paul says that if you're with somebody who doesn't understand praying in the Spirit, he says you shouldn't pray in the Spirit because you confuse them. They don't understand it. You're not edifying anybody. So he says, if you're praying for somebody you know who prays in the Spirit or has an understanding, then feel free to pray in the Spirit with them or for them. He says, but Paul says, when you pray with somebody who doesn't understand, pray in English. And so I was like, God, I know this particular denomination doesn't promote this. And so I was trying to be really careful. So I went in to pray, and I gave the best Max Lucado prayer I could give him. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only Son. Then a little bit of narration. Anyway, I was up here to pray, you know, and I was very calm because I didn't want to offend him. And so I just wanted to pray with him. I was praying this very calm, smoothing prayer, and then when he got done, he began to pray. He was like, oh, God! And he starts calling fire down from heaven, man. And all of a sudden, he just breaks off and starts speaking in the Spirit. And inside, I'm laughing so hard. We get done. He goes, what are you laughing for? I said, because you just prayed in tongues, man. You prayed in the Spirit. I said, I was all trying to be careful not to offend you. He goes, oh, yeah, man. I've been praying in the Spirit for years. He goes, I'm not allowed to preach it. I'm talking about one of the largest churches in our area. He goes, I'm not allowed to preach it. I'll get in trouble, but I've been doing it for years. How silly. I mean, this gift is for every one of us. It's a spiritual gift that every believer can have. It's for us. So today, this is what I want you to do. As we're talking about giving over control of the Holy Spirit, our language. Today, if you've never been taught this before, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit would just, the light's coming on for you. Yeah, yeah. For some of you here, you've been taught this a long time ago, but maybe you didn't have a full understanding of how it operated, why it was there. And today, you're going to say, you know what? It's time for me to get that package out, shake off the dust, unwrap that, and begin to use it as a weapon in my life. For some of you here, the step for you is just simply going to be this. You know what? I need to quit being afraid of this. Maybe I don't do it right away. Maybe I never do it. That's your choice. You're not going to miss heaven because you don't pray in the Spirit. You'll just miss walking around empowered to the fullest that God has for you. You'll just miss walking around with the weapons that God has for our spiritual armor. You'll just miss some of the great things of your spirit man edifying you. But I want you here, if you're here today, you say, you know what? I'm going to quit speaking out against something that's clearly found all through Scripture. I believe most of you in this room, because I know you, you're saying, Pastor, I never heard it explained in a way that I could really understand. Today, I understand. I'm having a better understanding. Maybe you don't even fully understand it all, but today the light's coming on for you, and you're realizing that there's a spiritual language that God has for me. I'm not going to fear it. Matter of fact, I'm going to open up my life to it. Say, God, I want to learn to do that. I'm going to invite us all to stand today. Listen, nobody, I'm going to tell you right now, no one here is going to make you speak in tongues. No one here is going to make you or ask you to do that. All I'm simply asking you to do is to open up your life and say, you know what? I am ready to operate. God, if when. And some of you, it may come while you're driving your truck this week. It may come when you're driving your car this week. It may come when you're praying when the kids are at school. You say, you know what? I feel this coming. I don't want to fear it any longer. I want to learn to start using it and operating my life. I want to open up to every good gift. I want every gift God has for me. And that's why, as your pastor, I promise you, you know me. I'm going to preach you to balance the word as best I can, as the best I can interpret it. I'm going to give you scripture for why we believe what we believe. And I tell you, speaking in the Spirit is 100% of God. It's 100% for every believer who wants it and accepts it. But it's up to you to say, God, I accept it and I want to use it. So today, I invite you, come to the front today. Join me as we close out this song. If you would like to do that, say, God, I just want to step out and say, God, I'm ready to receive everything you have for my life today. We're going to sing this song, and somebody says, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. How many want more of God in my life? I want every gift God has for me. Come on, press into the front as we sing a song.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God. Down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Let's lift our hands one more time to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are changing us. That, God, you are causing our eyes to be open to all the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. No longer will we allow ourselves to look at certain gifts in fear. But God, we're saying right now, God, if you have it for us, we want to receive it. Every gift you have for us, God, we want to receive that gift. So Father, with our hands open, Lord, we say, Holy Spirit, come now. Change my language. Change my heart. Help me to speak with the mouth controlled by the Holy Spirit. Help my words to be edifying to you. May I be a person who speaks a language of love, who speaks a language of mercy, who speaks a language of forgiveness, who speaks wisdom coming from the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that when the unction of the Holy Spirit gets in our life, that Father, we won't be afraid to speak and pray in the Spirit. We won't be afraid to worship in the Spirit. We won't be afraid to allow that heavenly language to come out of us to edify ourselves and see our spirit man built up And Father, we can face the battle we're facing today, knowing that we're bringing out every weapon you've given us. We're unwrapping every good gift the Father has for us today. So Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to your Spirit. We say yes to you. We say yes to your Spirit. God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Now look at me. I'm telling you. I preach this message. This is what's going to happen. This week, some of you are going to tell already. You're going to call me. You're going to send me a text. Or you're going to come back and say, you don't believe what happened this week, Pastor. I was driving my car and I was praying. And all of a sudden, I began to speak in a heavenly language. Some of you next week, you're going to be singing in church. And all of a sudden, you're going to be singing and it's not going to be English. Don't be afraid of that. Just allow that to flow out of you. That's your spirit, man. It's going to happen. Every time I speak on this, it happens. People come back and say, man, I begin to operate it. I begin to say, I'm not afraid of it. So today we're saying, God, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Anything that you have in my life, I want to say yes to that. How many say that? Amen. Can you put your hands together? You believe it today? Say, I believe. I want every gift God has for me. Now listen, if you know somebody who has questions about the Holy Spirit, you need to get them here next week, okay? Next week, I'm going to be speaking on the three baptisms and really spending the majority of my time talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have a three baptisms every Christian believer can go through. The baptism of Jesus. The scripture talks about the baptism of Jesus, the baptism in water, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to simply open up the scripture. We're going to look at it and say, what does the scripture say about that? So you can bring your friends or family who maybe have more questions. It'll be a great service for them to come into. If you've never been baptized in water, stop by. This is a good time. Sign up at the Welcome Center before you leave today. God bless you. Turn to get someone a big high five and a hug. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you.